I have two short readings. The first is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you people of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And then Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at all his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to the Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to their firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth be peace to men, on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him and what had been told about him. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
This reading is from Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came to witness, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Hello, my name's Paul, and I'm the minister of the church here. And we had read to us these words, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, words are very important. The words we've got here are positive words and encouraging words, and that's good. But there are good words and there are bad words. Now, I love getting Christmas cards and birthday cards. And at birthdays, they seem to be always insulting words. There seem to be words that are like this one that says, "As he finished the hoovering, he waited for his applause like the hero he always knew he was." That's me, down to a T. And then sometimes you get words which are encouraging, but in a funny sort of way. "Never laugh at your wife's choices. You're one of them." Yes, Julie, it was one that you sent for me this birthday. "A reminder that someone cares." And that's the word that we have at Christmas time, to remind us that someone cares. But the tongue that produces words can be sometimes dangerous. James in chapter 3 says this, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord the Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." Words can do harm. Somebody once said, "The power of words is immense. A well-chosen word has often sufficed to stop a flying army, to change defeat into victory, and to save an empire." We have a new definition of words we don't like: fake news. Fact is, words can hurt, despite the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us." Words can hurt, so we have to watch our words. But words can do good too. A good, encouraging word at the right time can do a lot of healing. We can use words to bless God, and that is amazing, that we can bless God by the words that we have. It's amazing. We hear John in his first chapter, as we had read to us by Anne, that Jesus created all things, and elsewhere the Apostle Paul says that by Jesus all things hold together by his words. So Jesus is a creating word, a positive word, an encouraging word. And words we need at this time of year and this time in history are positive, encouraging words. And Jesus brings those. And then lastly, Jesus is the eternal Word of God. Jesus is the expression of God. He is God speaking. So when we read the Bible and the words of Jesus, we're hearing God speak. And we remember, don't we, that he didn't remain in a crib. He grew and became a teacher sent by God and spoke words to live by. Jesus is the Word of God. And in that idea and with that in mind, we've got a little gift for you this Christmas. It's the Gospel of Luke, which is the words of Jesus and the words of the story of Jesus. And we'd like you to take one of these and put it in your pocket, put it in your handbag, whatever. And when you get a chance, just have a read, a little bit at a time, and take on board the words that Jesus said. Powerful words, wonderful words, words of encouragement, words to be blessed by. This Christmas, we remember Jesus is the Word of God.